99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
All right, hold on here. Yahoo Mail hates me. Okay. Chairman John Crawford and Committee Chair Terry Huffman of the DRCC are here. The Douglas County Republicans. Now, are there still two Republican groups in Douglas County, or is there just one and only you? There are three?
There's three. There's two women's groups.
How could this happen?
There's Sierra Nevada Republican women and Douglas County Republican women, as well as DCRCC.
But you're the big dog, right?
We're all big dogs.
The Republicans. Anyway, I'm John Potter. We're going to be talking politics here and preparations made for the next election. The midterms, not a huge deal. We do have assembly members running for office, so you're getting active, bolstering up the ranks and getting lined up. I want you to do something about Catherine Cortez Masto. I'm sorry, I know she doesn't run for, three more years, okay? I want you to start preparing now. I want that candidate who can take her out of that seat. Listen, I respect Mark Amaday. I know he works hard. A lot of people don't think so. I can live with Jackie Rosen. I'm sorry. She communicates with her constituents constantly. But Catherine Cortez Masto, I'm sorry to start with a rant. But I knew her when she was attorney general, and she was level-headed and common sense, and she wasn't far-left wacko. And somehow the DNC got to her. And I think Pelosi and Schumer are writing her articles. Did you see this article in the Senior Spectrum? They give her 2 pages every issue. And she wrote about the big, beautiful bill and how it affects Nevada seniors. And she left out all the benefits. How could you write a 2-page article and not mention the $6,000 tax exemption for seniors, 65 and older? Didn't even mention it. That's omission.
You are surprised.
That's omission. That is basic fraud to not even bring that up. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Gabbing away here. I've been doing it all morning long. I don't know what's in this coffee. John Crawford, the chairman, and committee chair Terry Huffman. Now you're Douglas County. Where do good Republicans eat in Douglas County? I ask this because we lost Christopher's, owned by frequent Republican candidate Dr. Fred Simon. Where will they accept our kind in
Douglas County? I think we should do Woodette's.
Love Woodette's.
Woodette's is fabulous.
Very good to us.
They scared me after COVID. They did not bring the salad bar back right away. I love that salad bar. Don't tell me they changed it again.
Well, of course we love Francisco's, too.
Francisco's? We're going to eat there tonight. It's funny you bring that up. Yeah, we're going to
too.
No kidding!
We're going up to the lake and having lunch, and then we're going to the Minden Mill, and then Francisco's.
Oh, we're going to see the concert at Carson Valley Inn tonight.
Who's playing?
Parmalee.
Parmalee, tonight. I'll see you there.
Yeah, Francisco's.
Francisco's with
Well, we're going to be there about, I think, 6:30.
We have no idea when we'll be
okay.
There.
Okay.
We're playing it by ear.
Wow, Terry. That's awesome. Well, anyway, it's a small world, isn't it? Tell us about the recent and upcoming events in Douglas County. Well, John?
Since we were last with you back in June, we've had a pretty active month. We, at the middle of June, we participated in the Carson Valley Days Parade. We had a nice float out there. Jurassic was the theme, and folks in dinosaur costumes had a nice float, great music, and it was a good time. Good presence in the community, involving with the community. And from there, we went and we had our state meeting.
Where was that?
The Nevada Republicans had our state meeting up in Winnemucca.
Winnemucca.
And we reelected.
Where do you eat at Winnemucca?
I didn't go to Winnemucca. I had house guests.
Martin's.
Martin's is by far the absolute best.
Very good.
Martin's with all my soul. It is the best Basque food restaurant in the state. Number two, I say Winnemucca pizza. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, John.
But we Reelected a membership up there, Michael McDonald. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, I saw
Ran
that.
Unopposed and is now a repeat term for leadership of the Nevada Party, mm-hmm. Republican Party. And his vice chair reelected Jim Hendel. Congratulations to Jim. Repeat term for him as well. And so we look forward to goodness from those. At the same time, the prior day, we had the rural caucus, which is the 15 rural counties, had their meeting and elected their new membership. Wes Rice had stepped down from the chair, so Scott Keller was elected as the new chair, and our very own Jim McAllop was elected as vice chair over the rules.
Are we getting some new blood, young blood?
Well, that is new blood.
Good.
In the rules.
Yeah.
And we're seeing some new blood pop up in the rural counties. We're one of them. We just got elected in March ourselves. And outside of the rules, I don't know if you saw the news, but down in Clark County, they just elected a new chairman for their committee down in Clark
Terry's
County.
Terry's excited.
Jill Douglas is replacing Jesse Law as a chairman down in Clark County. So there might be some changes and some new energy coming all over the place as our grassroots gets ready for 2026. We do have a lot of collaboration going on between the rules and with Clark County. We have opportunities. You talk about Cortez Masto. We have other opportunities in our legislature.
Make a cross with my fingers.
We have opportunities to potentially see some flipping of seats to get the Senate to where we can have a red majority.
Some work done now. to find the ultimate candidate change this awful situation. And listen to me asking for young blood, me who was pushed out because of my age. I met new blood. Okay. No. So this is new. The Douglas County Republican Committee is bringing back fundraising where, quote, solid tradition meets exciting new and fun experiences for all. Now, this is Terry's job. She's the fundraising committee chair. Terry, what kind of fundraising do you want to do?
Well, I actually took a survey of about 10 different things, including axe throwing. And the survey said bowling.
Axe throwing at a picture of what?
Not
Obama's head again.
You know, I got to say, the first time I threw the axe was on my 70th birthday, and I couldn't get it to stick in that cork. And the guy says, just picture somebody you don't like. And I saw Biden, and boom, it stuck
Terry.
Right in the cork. Sorry to say it, but
that's
what happened. And it worked.
That's homicidal.
It is. But we're not doing any axe throwing. We thought about it, but we thought better of it. We are having a great cornhole tournament, and we're having it at Genoa Ranch Golf Course.
Open to the public?
Open to the public, and it's September 6th. And anybody that's a cornhole enthusiast or backyard player, we are going to be working with a team from here in Reno. They're really great folks. It's called the Reno Cornhole Club, and they are helping us sign people up, but they are
Reno
verifying.
Has a cornhole club.
Reno has like 3 cornhole clubs. Can you believe it? It's that big. And they're going to make sure that no professionals filter in and take the first prize, because first prize is $250. So we don't want any pros coming in and taking away from us backyard players.
I like it. Cornhole. I mean, who doesn't like cornhole? I think that's very good. Now, how does this fit in with fundraising? Do you charge for
it? It's $50 per person.
Okay.
And there's two teams.
What are the prizes?
Two-person team. The first one is what they call in the cornhole world, which I'm learning about.
The cornhole world.
Yes, they call it 5 times your entry fee. So the first prize is 5 times the entry fee, which is $250, because it's $50 per person. Second prize is going to be donations that we're getting from people. We're going to give them actual gifts and not money, because it is a fundraiser. And mm-hmm. So at $50 a person and 40 teams, we could be making some good money. The golf course is donating their space, but they're selling all the food and beverage, and they're going to have a little golf cart there to help us with the beverages really close. We're doing vendors and tents. We have sponsors. We already have 2 sponsors, And the sponsors are going to sponsor a board. Instead of sponsoring a hole like a golf course, it'll be sponsor a court. And so this will be the VIP court, and this will be the Genoa court, and whoever does the sponsoring. And we're having shirts, fun shirts, just like on the – did you ever see the Walk the Bridge in Coronado, the Bay Bridge? Every year you walk the bridge, and they have a different shirt each year. So we're going to start the first Job's Peak Challenge Cornhole Tournament, the very first. So it's going to be the first one. We're going to have them every year. And each shirt will be different. So you have a picture of Job's Peak and the challenge.
So the challenge has nothing to do with climbing Job's Peak.
No, but it is a challenge. And so you've you've got, say, 40 teams, and everybody is guaranteed four games. So you have two qualification games and two tournament games and a T-shirt for $50. That's a really good deal.
Sounds like you're miles ahead of the Douglas County Democrats. Well, is there one? Douglas County Democrats?
I accidentally got lost in the parking lot over by Ironwood and ran into their office. I didn't go in.
And I want to commend Terry on her efforts. She is really branching out our community engagement with these efforts to make them fun, community-wide, family-based, and make them really appealing to the broader community, not just Republicans, not just Republican Central Committee. And with the funds that we get, those funds go right into educating our precincts, local Republicans, nonpartisans, talking to them, getting that vote out, and things like that. So that's what those funds are raised for. They're not just willy-nilly funds. They are raised for a very important purpose of executing our mission.
Grassroots activity, exactly what we need to do.
You're a dynamo.
We need to find that person that's going to replace.
Nominations are open?
If anybody's interested.
You have a website, right? Or just Facebook? You have a website. What is it?
It is douglasnvgop.org. And we just set it up. You can go on our website now. You can go to the events page, and you can pull down. You can actually purchase your tickets now for our barbecue. Heritage Barbecue that's scheduled for October 4th at the Douglas Fairgrounds. And so now you can do online purchasing. The flyers are going to come out. You can actually do a QR code purchase of them, or you can come into our office on 395 down there in Minden or Gardnerville and purchase a ticket with cash.
Why should people go to the barbecue and buy a ticket?
It's a very fun.
Every year?
Every year.
Okay.
It's another excellent fundraiser. I should let Terry talk to that.
Well, you can talk fundraiser.
it's an excellent barbecue event. And this year they have Woodette's serving a fabulous prime rib.
Yes,
beef.
It's a prime rib dinner. And if you get a table, you get filet with a peppercorn sauce.
Great community event, camaraderie. You get some great speakers. We have Janice Rogers Brown, a jurist, almost was a Supreme Court nominee back in the Bush era. Brilliant jurist, judge from, actually was on California District Court, and
Great barbecue.
Popular, wonderful person. Great barbecue and great community event.
We're also going to have all the ranchers in the valley there to support us and represent themselves, because our barbecue is actually about making ranching great again.
That's the theme.
And we're having Jack Payne will be there talking about the bill for identifying beef as USA beef and not foreign beef stepping on the ground.
Yes, that's
so
right.
Jack will be there.
Okay.
And we are going to try and focus on the ranchers, because they're our lifeblood, and we want to take care of them.
Okay. You get your tickets, folks, at the website, which is
DouglasNVGOP.org.
That's so easy. All right. Let's take a break, a short break. We'll be back. I'm John Potter with Douglas County Republican Committee, bringing back the fun fundraising. Terry and John, for one more break. If you have a question for them or a comment, 884-9910. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1120.
Na, 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 1170 FM. News and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
You folks are so fun to talk to. Here we are. We're trading South Lake Tahoe restaurant and motel tips. You're with me. Oh, yep. My gosh. The same. We have the same favorites.
Same restaurant.
The same favorites. Okay, besides Francisca's, Douglas County, where do the good Republicans eat in Douglas? What are the good restaurants?
Glen Eagles.
You like Glen Eagles.
Eagles. I also like the Pink House. We ate there yesterday.
Pink House with the new owners.
Yes, new owners. They got a new pizza oven, so they're a little bit faster. If you're in a hurry, don't go there. But if you want to eat good food, definitely go there.
I've always loved the Pink House in Genoa, but they're starting to expand a little bit. Makes me nervous. They opened up the backyard, the side yard to live performances. And
we sat
inside. Like my quiet little Pink House. Without crowds, you know?
Yeah, we sat inside because we didn't want the music.
Yeah, you sit inside that little 1800 couch and have yourself some cheeses. It's a great world. Okay, so got to repeat that website again.
Douglas.
Yeah.
NV, Nevada. DouglasNVGOP.org.
Because you're selling a lot of great fun events here.
To the extent that we can post up events that are happening in surrounding counties in Carson, mm-hmm. you can see flyers from Carson City, Churchill, Elko. We try to get their flyers and get them posted on our events page too. But you can purchase Heritage Barbecue tickets through the events page on our website.
Oh, do it, folks. I'm a little worried. You know, Minden Gardnerville is well known as one of the reddest districts in Nevada. But you also have a lot of newcomers moving there. That's sent house prices up, what, $700,000-some? And it shows that there's huge demand to move to Minden Gardnerville. Do you sense that these new residents are blue or red? I've heard both sides of the California migration here. People tell me, oh, John, the Californians coming to Nevada are red. They're conservatives because they can't stand California anymore. But I must be running into different Californians because I run into the blue ones.
Where are you running into them?
I go out to restaurants constantly. And
Reno?
Yeah, Reno.
Well, the reason that John is working so hard with the rurals is because Clark and Washoe are blue and all the rurals are red. So we, as part of the rurals, are getting together, and instead of Douglas working by themselves and Lyon working by themselves, we are going to be focusing on the larger communities, which is Washoe and Clark. Now that Clark has flipped with a new slate, that's fabulous for us because they are on the same mindset as us.
Right. What it boggles my mind, even the conservative Californians who come here invariably try to change our laws to California laws. Yes. They don't know what they're doing.
They leave because they messed it up and come here and try and mess it up.
Yeah. But not on purpose,
no,
but it's something in them that is, they still have California brain. So they have to want this and want that and change the whole dynamic of our communities in this state.
I feel like our entire community, I'm in a very new community the ranch, and almost everyone I meet there is from California, but everyone I meet there is red. Conservative.
You don't get we did this in California, it was better. You don't get that kind of attitude?
No.
What you get in the rurals is they ran away from the city and the Democrats, and they moved to the rurals. When you see a city, you're going to see more Democrats mm-hmm. in both ends of the state. Both ends of the state are like that. That's why we are going to go in and help them flip.
Okay. John, anything else you want to add today?
No, Terry covered pretty well. We are seeing our alliances and our allegiances and our connectivity with key rurals and in particular Clark, because that's where the big opportunity exists in Clark to flip seats and regain a majority in at least the state Senate. And so we're focusing on that, working with them. we're not ignoring Douglas. Douglas beautifully red, but it's comfortably red, and we're going to be also working with our nonpartisans and independents in Douglas to, you know, broaden that communication channel as well, because a lot of those folks are defaulted to their nonpartisan status, maybe unbeknownst to themselves. So we're trying to work with them as well. But we are focusing on a true leveraging our efforts where we can really see some results.
Well, we have assembly members up for re-election and election next year, next election. What races in particular are we looking at for the midterms next year?
Well, we've got Senator Titus, minority leader.
We don't want her, right? Titus?
Senator Titus?
I'm sorry. I thought you meant Dina.
Absolutely.
Senator These Democrats, Titus. They haunt me.
Shame on you. Assemblyman Ken Gray. We have Congressman Mark Amaday. And on down the line, we have in Douglas County, we have three seats on the school board coming up. We have one commissioner coming up. We're looking at the judicial.
Any races you worry about? Any tight races you think?
In Douglas County, I'm not, with three seats coming up on school board, I'm concerned about the school board. That's, you know, we'll work that down the road and understand what's happening there. It's not like we can go out and handpick those candidates, but. We're keeping an eye on that space. I don't know what's going to develop. But Douglas County is, I think, going to take good care of itself.
Is that school board getting level again? I mean, after all the uproar, after Joey, the lawyer, and everything, and the controversy over that, have things mellowed out at the school board? Are things fine right now?
The superintendent is fabulous.
You like the new superintendent?
Yes, we like him a lot.
In fact, Frankie Alvarado is coming to speak with us at our next meeting on August 14th. He's going to be our guest speaker, much like you did. And we're going to get an opportunity to hear from him and ask him some questions.
Yeah, how do people just join your wonderful group to go to your meetings and listen to the speakers? What's necessary for folks to do that?
They can come to a meeting. Our next meeting
just
is August 14th at 6 o'clock
at the Elks
they
Club
can
building.
Walk in as register as a guest. We have application forms. You can join up
and just sit and take it all in, and then decide
take it
if
in,
you want
to decide.
That's
right.
Great.
Or you can come into our office right there on 395 in the Anchor Building and get an application to join right there.
And
folks, or you can do it online. There's an application on our website.
Do it online. What's that website again?
DouglasNVGOP.org.
Okay, now I want you to get cracking on this Catherine Cortez Masto seat tonight. I want you to start working tonight to get the best candidate we can get for that seat.
Oh, that mission.
Maybe you have some callers that would call in and say they want to run.
That's what go to the website, folks, and make your decision. At least go to one of their meetings. Douglas County Republican Committee, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming out, John and Terry. All right. We're going to break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, live and local. Open topic again, 884-9910. Bring something up and we'll chat. I'll read some texts next, too. We're going to take a short break. Fox News next, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:32.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 991FMTalk.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. Good to have you here. I'm John Potter. It's 11:38. We're getting up, as you heard from Craig's forecast there. It's getting nice and toasty for the weekend. I hope you enjoy every single moment of it. I am stretching time as I search for my glasses to read the texts that I have not looked at before I start reading them. So that's how brave I am today. John, is it a world full of snowflakes now? Yes, it is. Next text here. Let's see here. Your theme song. Oh, no, I read that one. Okay. Theme song should be Get Over It by the Eagles. That's one I can't. I'm a slow person. I didn't get that one. So now we have All the President's Men Part 2. Okay, don't get that one either. John, isn't it interesting? All these protesters with all this time on their hands will laugh all the way to the bank cashing their Social Security checks while the rest of us are working. Yes, I brought up the Tuesday protest. That was at about 9:20 this morning. I could bring that up again because I thought I was pretty much on target with that. Next one. John, if you dared watch The Clowns on Channel 2. It's paint. Yes, okay. I got you there. Let me see. John, have you dared? No, I just read that one. See? That's the eyes, folks. It's the eyes. I need 3.0 readers. Hey, John, some people say $9 billion is just a drop in the... Okay, this is about the PBS funding. Some people say $9 billion is just a drop in a bucket, but $9 billion divided by 350,000 is $25. In other words, that's the cost to each American citizen to fund PBS. This person says, I'll take the $25, you can keep PBS. All right, okay. And a bunch of texts about my apparently controversial view that the 14th Amendment means what it says. Text says, but these illegals have no intention to love the USA. That's why I said that the illegals who are working right now, like I'm aware of a few working around yards and neighborhoods and such, to give them some way to achieve that citizenship. And the farms and homeowners and elsewhere will thank all of us. We need people to work those farms and such. And if they're good, hard workers, if there is a way to just keep the good, hard workers, and there are many of them, I'm all for it. John, being invited into the U.S. is not a right. Yes, I agree. Thank you. Let's see here. Here's a long one. I respectfully disagree, and this is the first time I've tuned in. I'm very disappointed. I'm not an attorney, but understand the anchor baby clause was intended for those who were slaves owned by their plantation after the Civil War. Those crossing with children, if they were not trafficked by the cartel, are illegal and broke our laws when they did not follow the Obama and Clinton policies of DACA. China has made an entire pile of cash from sending women over here just in time to go to an overcrowded ER to give birth. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Deborah, for sending that in. Those crossing with children, that's not exactly what we were talking about. We were talking about pregnant illegals coming here and giving birth, which the 14th Amendment classifies that innocent child as a U.S. citizen. And I don't like anchor babies either. I don't like the pregnant ladies who book flights to come here and give birth in the USA for that purpose. But there are other ways to stop that from happening instead of altering and changing the 14th Amendment. Next one. John, both are Democrat senators. They failed to tell us that itemized gambling win-loss on our tax return will now be taxed on 10% of our losses. Thanks, Democrats, for sneaking this into the big, beautiful bill. The taxes on losses, too? I did not know that. I thought it was on the winnings. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, jeez. Yeah, that hurts us more than any other state with our tourism industry. Oh, we got a call on the 14th Amendment. Oh, I got something going now. Let's go to Paul calling in Reno. Hey, Paul, I'm glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, John. Say, I was at the Friends of the Library book sale earlier this year or late last year. I don't remember. But I picked up a 2-volume set of 20 Years of Congress. And the set covered 1861 to 1881, I believe, with years. The Civil War and the Reconstruction. And I looked up the 14th Amendment stuff in it. I'm kind of paraphrasing here because I don't have it right in front of me. But there was debate going around. You're familiar with the term Sioux Nation, Navajo Nation?
No, sir.
At that time, the Indian reservation, the Indian treaties treated the Indian tribes as sovereign nations. Okay, and they still are in a lot of respects. And so the, when the debate was going on, that phrase, under the jurisdiction thereof, the United States, there was debate of whether that included Native Americans or not, because of the they were sovereign nations. And it was concluded within that time period that it did include them. But the intent of that under the jurisdiction was to exclude citizens of other nations that weren't here legally. So,
well, now, I think if that was the case, they would have detailed that. It seems to be going a roundabout way to back your case on that.
Well,
I just see go ahead.
Well, you read the 14th Amendment, and it says under the jurisdiction thereof. And that was
that's what that meant,
and I'm basing that on the fact that people were saying if you're a member of the Sioux Nation, you're not a member a U.S. citizen, even though you're living here, your kids are born here. Half of the debate was you're not a member, you're not a U.S. citizen, so it doesn't apply to you, and the other half it was. So that points to that text meaning citizens of the U.S. So it's pretty conclusive, but.
Okay, you know, well, to you. All right.
Yeah. And like I said, that book was pretty awesome to find in the library. I don't know why nobody picked up. It was the first edition. Mm-hmm. Two big, thick volumes of everything that went on in Congress, all the debating that went on, all the bills sure. were passed, the was in there and stuff. I thought that was a hell of a find for just like, I think I paid maybe $5 for it or something.
Boy, you'd be a cool guy to hang out with a cup of coffee, my friend. I appreciate you calling, Paul. I love talking to folks who read and think like that young man does. My name's John Potter. I am neither not young, and I'm not that smart. But I do appreciate having this job, being a person who needs one, and. I thank these radio stations for putting a has-been TV anchor on the radio each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Okay, I'll take a few more calls. We have one more break to go. And Phil, you're doing a great job at Carson City. It's awesome having you to answer these calls and be a part of it all. We're going to be right back on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Phone number 884-9910. FM News Talk time 11:47.
Got an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hello. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. Just got another text here. I'll click that. John, so much talk about the illegal Mexicans and whining about China. Here's another one to cry about. Have you noticed the influx of Filipinos at the casinos and even the post office? I'll tell you who else, too. The hospitals. Before I remarried, I would take Amtrak to Winnemucca because I developed a very nice circle of friends in Winnemucca. I would just get on the Amtrak and, stay overnight in Winnemucca and go to a big group of Filipinos worked at the hospital or still do in Hawthorne. And they come here to earn their green card, and they typically will work in the lab at the hospital. But getting to know them, I can tell you that they are the most religious, family-oriented people I know. And I had just wonderful G-rated times with these Filipinos and their picnics and such in Winnemucca. It's a great memory of mine. Yes, they also work in the casinos and post office, and I suggest to you, who sent the text, to get to know them. Let me see. While we have time, I have one more thing I wanted to bring up. You see, this is always the worst segment. This is all my good stuff is used up. So I go to the topic that I've been thinking, should I bring this up or not bring it up? And so... since I have time and I can't do anything about it, I'm going to bring up the fact about And I can now definitely say, from all that I've seen and read over the past 25 years doing news in Northern Nevada and 10 years reporting on this in Las Vegas, that solar farms folks are not working out in Nevada or anywhere. The huge one just north of Tonopah, the Crescent Dunes solar plant, opened in 2015 and has never achieved the output it said it would. It has been shut down a few times. It closed in 2019. Then it reopened in 2021. The Ivanpah solar plant near Vegas is a 3,500-acre solar power facility in the Mojave, just across the state line from Prim in southern Nevada. It has not been working well, not even to pay for itself. The Ivanpah solar power plant is on its way to being shut down just 11 years after it opened. PG&E pulled out of it, leading to a planned closure of two of its three units by next year. This plant cost a lot of it taxpayer money, $2.2 billion to build. The plant used natural gas to keep itself running, six times the limit allowed by the California Energy Commission. And federal biologists said about 6,000 birds die there every year, burned alive as they flew over where the air temperatures reach 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. This is not some wacko saying it. This is the California Energy Commission. And they're still putting them in, left and right, solar farms, bulldozing the fields, laying the cables, pouring the concrete on lands where the Shoshone and the Paiute roamed the Great Basin, land which has sustained family farms and ranches since the early 1800s. It would all go away on 62,000 acres if this proposed solar farm in Esmeralda County comes to fruition, killing off the greens and the golds and the flowers in their seasons. No more alfalfa, no more cattle, no more horses on the ranches in Nevada there. Just rows and rows of solar panels, the strip mining of our day. Rural Nevada put to death to satisfy the politics of people far away in California or Las Vegas. Solar farms will never generate a profitable kilowatt of power. I've read into this very deeply. They will never sustain themselves in the marketplace. I mean, wind power is worse, but solar, they will never be a major source of electricity. They know that there are ways to milk, but they do know there are ways to milk tax credits out of the government, a way to partner with the politicians who spin tales of climate change to cripple our economy and strip our freedoms. The money comes from the taxpayer. The damage is done to our Nevada desert. It's a mix of colonialism and virtue signaling, the destroying of a countryside and a culture for nothing. Last year, China increased its carbon dioxide production from coal burning alone about five times more than the United States cut its carbon dioxide production from all sources. What all of this means is that a 62,000-acre solar farm in Esmeralda County will accomplish nothing. They generate negligible amounts of electricity. They do not reduce the world supply of greenhouse gases. And solar farms are using land that's already helping to reduce carbon dioxide. An acre of alfalfa, the most common crop grown in Esmeralda County, absorbs thousands of pounds of carbon dioxide a year. The natural hills and the valleys of the Great Basin are left alone. Excellent. God-given protectors of the climate. And further, those natural acres sustain wildlife and biodiversity in a way that massive fenced-in solar arrays don't. Solar farms are biologically sterile. They're fenced off to exclude deer and other mammals and choking off the vegetation that feeds pollinators that provide insect life to sustain bird populations. They would make 62,000 acres completely silent of life. From a plant and animal sustainability standpoint, a solar farm is about the same as a paved parking lot. The only green thing about them is the taxpayer money going into the pockets of out-of-state companies and Chinese manufacturers. Green energy is the blood diamonds of our day, and in central Nevada, it forever removes from production the farm and ranch land, which is the lifeblood of both our culture and our economy. And it forever destroys the archaeological reminders of Native America with the subtle traces of camp and village bulldozed to put in solar panels that will be obsolete and abandoned in a decade, but standing for centuries as a reminder of the arrogance of our day and the desecration of our land. I get carried away when I write. Always been a problem with me. The pen, it just doesn't stop. Thank you for bearing with me today, Phil, thank you so much from Carson City. You did a great job, my friend. And I will see you on Monday, Phil. Folks, have a great weekend. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.